on Cork's Good Times.
Red FM.
Welcome along once more to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour, keeping you up to date with all the latest sporting matters from around the Rebel County, as well as further afield. We're already under pressure for time with our stacked show today, so let's get straight into things. 2 weeks ago, I was kindly invited by Virgin Media to attend their League of Ireland launch. And this is where I caught up with Cork City's Evan McLaughlin ahead of the new season starting this Friday night against Galway United in Turner's Cross. Enjoy. How's pre-season going for you anyway? You had a good win against Motherwell yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't go myself. No, I actually hurt my hamstring, unfortunately, but only a few weeks job. But brilliant game against good opposition, obviously, in the Scottish Prem and stuff. So, yeah, it's a good one. A minute in the bank is all that matters, isn't it?
How's pre-season going in general for the team? A fairly new squad at the moment in Cork City.
A new squad, few fizzes in, a few fizzes out, so everybody's still getting in a wee chiller and stuff. But no, we're gelling good at the minute, so that's good.
Shawnee and Keats, what's it like playing on the field with that duo? I know you got a few months of it there last season. It must be absolutely incredible.
It's brilliant, hey. It's brilliant for myself. I built it up a few assists last year off them. They're two proven goal scorers in different leagues. So it's just, they won matches, you need goal scorers, and that's what them two are. So it's brilliant.
A lot of people said they might not get on, just, you know, two strikers, two main men, but they seem to have a great relationship with each other off the field as well.
Yeah, they have a great relationship off the field. They have their own wee coaching thing and stuff. So once a relationship's got off the field, on the field, it's not a bar at all. It becomes easier and stuff.
That seems to be part of the whole squad, is from what I'm hearing this year, that there's a real camaraderie in the group.
Yeah, it's a very close group. Last year was a very close group as well, and this year it'll just be the exact same. Obviously, there's a few new faces on and stuff, so everybody's close, everybody's missed off a pitch. Makes it easier on a pitch, as I said, so yeah, everybody's sweet.
Him being signed yesterday, the day before, what can City fans expect from him this season?
Oh, he's a solid defender. He's a good ball at his feet. He's fast. Everything you want in a defender, really. So,
and I guess I'll go through a few more. Trusting goal. Had a, you know, some video clips went, oh, not the best starts, but he seems to improve a lot as pre-season went on. From training, what's he been like as a goaltender?
Oh, he's brilliant. Nets. A few mistakes in a pre-season friendly doesn't really sum up the type of player, do you know what I mean? He's been brilliant in pre-season. One of the best keepers I've trained with. He's obviously at a big club in Holland, so yeah, it was personally I was impressed with what I've seen. So
defensively, how set are Cork City this season? I know a lot of fans will be crying out for more maybe solidity back there. Yeah. But can we be confident going into this Premier Division?
Yeah, me personally, I'd be confident anyway. Obviously, Charlie Lyons, the heart of the offence this year, it was him and Kian Coleman last year, but Kian's away now, obviously. But I think Charlie's brilliant. He's a solid defender, been team of the year last year and stuff. So, personally, I think the back four is lining out well. So, yeah, solid.
Carlo Sullivan, I mean, the man is just magic. It's like having a little Cork Messi running around the place. How high is his ceiling in the game of football?
He can go as high as he wants, really. It's all up to him what he wants to do, but his talent's scary. Like, some of the things he's doing is mad, and he's still only 17, isn't it? But ceiling's the limit for him. Like, sky's the limit.
I know you probably weren't there at the time we were in Premier Division last year. Is there talk about things we're going to do differently now coming into this year?
Everything was different at that stage. Obviously, there was a different manager, there was just different personnel on the team, and this year everything's different. The main priority for us is staying up, not going back down. So I think it's a whole different ball game with this squad than it was with the last one.
Tim Clancy, what's he been saying to you now coming to this season? How's he building the belief in that dressing room?
Tim believes in us very much, to be honest. He's brilliant working with me every day. He's in my opinion, he's been my best manager, my manager, and just he just, I don't know how to explain it. He's just brilliant during the grip and stuff. Helps everybody gel and the new fellas and stuff that comes in the grip. But he's been, since he came on last season, Tom's been top.
And I mean, what's the biggest compliment you could say to Kimmy on about his man management? Does that mean look after you personally as well as like on the pitch manners?
Yeah, off the pitch and on the pitch he would look after you. For me personally, he's been, I don't live too close to Cork, I'm 6.5 hour drive, so when it comes to things off a pitch, he understands himself because he's not actually from Cork, so he is a bit of distance to do himself, but he helped me sell in Cork brilliant as well, so I can't speak highly enough about him really.
What's for this question especially, what's it like to play for the biggest club in Ireland?
It's definitely the biggest club in Ireland as well. You're right when you said that. There's a lot of expectation on the club and it shouldn't have been where it was last year. The fans, personally, I think the fans are the best in the country as well. And I think everybody will see it this year when we're in the Premier Division. I think it turned us across to be a fortress.
And how does that, where does that confidence come? Does that come from the training you've done so far?
It comes just as Cork as a whole. It's the city, it's just obsessed with football. Just the fans are just so on it and stuff, and it just comes from, it's just the identity of Cork City, isn't it? Like, it's just football mad, and it comes through in the players as well, so the players will be given everything this season.
And do you feel that as a player? Do you feel an innate Corkness from the fans and from people who are from Cork in general? Is there a different attitude maybe that we have, that we're the biggest and best and maybe a bit cocky about ourselves?
No, I don't think I would call it cockiness. It's just what they're used to over the years we won and stuff. Obviously the last couple of years hasn't been a great couple of years for the club, but sort of older fans from when they were going back years, when they were winning leagues and cups and stuff, and that's just what they were used to for a stage, and then obviously it's had a rocky few years, the club did, but now it's back where it belongs. So
John Caulfield, a man no stranger to Turner's Cross, a big day against Galway United, what are you expecting from that game coming into that one?
Tackles flying in everywhere probably. It'll be a high intensity game, definitely first match of the season on Turner's Cross against Galway. Obviously it'll be bouncing. Turner's Cross will be flying, I'd say. And I look forward to it as well.
Are you expecting big attendances hopefully this season?
Obviously it depends on how you're doing, but definitely the first game of the season it'll be packed out. But even last year the support in the first division was tops. Like, it was serious numbers getting put on through the gates. So
have you set a marker for yourself, or you want to finish in the table, or is it just a case of go out and play the best you can?
Obviously we'll go out and play the best we can every week, but the marker we've set ourselves is don't go back down first of all, and then we'll see where it takes us. But definitely the main priority is staying up.
Evan, appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
Have a good one, mate. Brilliant stuff from Evan. At least we know now he knows of the biggest club in Ireland. During the week I got to catch up with another City player then, this time captain Charlie Lyons and Galway United's Greg Cunningham, when he overheard we were talking about them. Cherry Lyons, how are you keeping anyway?
All good. Not long ago until the first game, so yeah, really looking forward to it.
What are you expecting from Galway United that first day of the season?
It's going to be really tough. Look, it's going to be tough game. I think we're expecting a big crowd, so hopefully we fill up Turner's Cross. But yeah, I really look forward to it. I think it's going to be a tough test.
How's the squad gelling? I mean, by all accounts, it seems to be going better than ever. Everyone's getting on so well.
Yeah, no, we've got a really good dressing room, though, to be fair. A lot of, I suppose, experienced lads and young lads, so I think that's a good mix. Yeah, it's been a good 4 or 5 weeks of pre-season, and as I said, I think we're all really looking forward to the first game.
Defensively, how are we looking? Is probably yourself and Anderson at centre back.
Freddie's come in and you've Milan as well. So look, Benny's come in as well as new lad, and Tyne and Connor, two new keepers as well. So look, there's a lot of competition places there. So it's not my job now to pick the team.
Are you very confident? confidence having a guy like Troost behind you, you know, Eredivisie Divisi.
Yeah.
Experience can't be nice.
Yeah,
no,
he's looked very good in training and matches as well. So, yeah, I really look forward to seeing how he does.
Shawnee Keats, what's it like having him on top of it? It must be magic.
Yeah, it's very handy, I think. You know, two boys are firing. Took probably a few games to get used to each other last year, but I think they have that chemistry now, and I think they're going to be a real asset for us this year.
What's it like, McCall Sullivan, then, in the middle of the park? How far can you go? We see Mason Milia go for 1.5 million. Do you think he can go for over the million mark?
Yeah, look, I think the next 6 months is massive for Cottle. He's a very humble lad. He's well keeps his feet on the ground, you know, so I don't think anything will faze him, to be honest, but yeah, look, I think he starts off firing, I think it's going to benefit Cottle in the next 6 months. Yeah.
And how has the pre-season gone? I mean, right, a bad start, but it seems to have just gone from strength to strength really since then.
Yeah, I think that was always going to happen. There was a lot of turnover players and stuff, and new lads coming in, so I think it was just getting used to each other and stuff like that. But yeah, as I said, the last few games have had decent results and good performances, but it doesn't really matter really at that stuff, you know, results and stuff. It's all going to matter next Friday night, so hopefully we can kick that.
Has Dyke Steele seemed to find, like, you've found under level or two as well this season? He seems to really have hit the ground.
Yeah, no, Mal's, he's exceptional fair. I think he's seen that towards the end of last. I think he kind of picked up form. He was with a few injuries, I suppose, last year on and off, so he couldn't really get a run of games. But yeah, he's come back fit, he's flying, and he's going to have a massive season.
What's Tim been saying to you this season coming into the year? What's kind of been his mantra?
I think, look, as a group, I think we've come together, and I think the main goal for us is to stay up. But probably everyone's favourite to go down, you know, being newly promoted and stuff. But yeah, I think Tim's been, you know, he's reassuring us that the squad's there and stuff, and I think we all believe in what he's doing, so I think once that all comes together we'll be alright.
And how have the new guys chilled into the team? You know, you might be worried on such short notice, them not being around too often, you might not go to plan, but have you been gelling alright? Obviously the results prove that.
Yeah, no, they've stuck to it, they're bought into what the club's about and stuff, and I think the new lads coming in are definitely going to be good on the eye for all the fans.
How important is it to have an element of Corkness in a Cork City side?
Massive Cork, it's always Cork. Yeah, I think it's massive. Having fellas in, I know Shawnee and Graham, they've been here and won it all at the club, and other Cork lads, but having them back in the club is massive. So.
They're honorary Cork lads,
exactly,
I think.
Yeah.
They bring that cocky attitude with them.
Yeah, no, I think, look, it's massive. I think Cork, to have the fans as well, the best fans in the country, I think, and I hopefully they can fill up Turner's Cross to one Friday night.
Beautiful stuff. Thanks, my lad.
Thank you. Cheers, nice one.
Yeah, great stuff from Charlie Lyons there. Huge, huge League of Ireland season ahead for Cork City. So go down to Turner's Cross this Friday if you can at all and make some noise. From football to basketball now. And it was a pleasure to be joined on the phone by Cork basketball star Lauren Homan, head of Ireland's huge game versus Latvia in their women's Eurobasket fixture in Dublin tomorrow. We're delighted to be joined here on the big red bench by Lauren Homan. Lauren, how are you getting on anyway? Training hard today?
Yeah, I just finished off training, but thanks a million for having me.
Not at all, our pleasure. How did the training go, prep for Latvia tomorrow in a big game for you?
Yeah, so it's been going good. We've been training the last week, so this morning we're kind of just tidying up everything, getting our scouts and just getting ready for the game tomorrow. So we're all looking forward to it. It's been on our calendar, and you know, a game we think we could really compete in and win, so we're just getting ready now and gearing up for tomorrow.
And how do you see this Latvian side coming into it, or where do you see how do you see the game going, rather?
Yeah, so obviously we had another game the other day against France, and they would have been way ahead of us in the world rankings, and we were kind of just using that to prep for this game against Latvia. So we definitely think we can compete in this game, and you know, having a full roster available, we're just really looking forward to it, and you know, just trying to show everyone that we can compete at this level, and we're hoping to have a good crowd tomorrow and have a good game.
Yeah, you mean one of the things that went to the cup final there a year ago, rather, I should say, but the atmosphere is incredible at these games.
I feel like the last couple of years it's been really growing, so it doesn't really come as a surprise to me. You know, a lot of people like to rally around the team, and just even our cup finals, you know, the like national games, you know, there's been more interest for people going to all these. So yeah, it doesn't really surprise me. And just the men's and women's games, you know, up in the arena, they're drawing bigger crowds, so it's great for us. You know, we kind of feed off them for the games, so really looking forward to tomorrow.
And how great is it that TG Cahir, it's on the player, the TG Cahir player tomorrow, but you know, TG Cahir getting behind women's basketball in particular.
Yeah, it's great to have them on board. You know, a lot of people that I know that wouldn't really, you know, watch basketball or know much about it, they get to tune in on TG Cahir, and you know, it kind of just pushes the sport out to more people that maybe wouldn't go to a game, but they get to watch it on the TV, so it's great.
And you started off with, did you start off with Brunel? I know you currently play with them now.
Yeah, so I've been playing with them since I'm six, so I've played all the way up.
What's been the highlight in a Brunel jersey for you?
It definitely has to be the cup final last year, the Super League one. I think it was the first one for our club at senior level, and just our founder passed away last year, so I think it was nice just touch last year to get that for him.
Yeah, I remember he had his picture in a picture frame lifting that along the side of the cup.
Yeah, it was just really nice, you know, to have that memory of him, and like, we wouldn't be here without him, so that cup was just as much for him as for any of the players or anyone in the club that were there that day.
Yeah, the scenes were incredible. And how good is it, I guess, for yourself that Adele Thornton is on the team, which I'm sure that's a good confidence boost for the two of you, that you already know each other so well.
Yeah, I love playing with Adele. I think I've idolised Adele since I was young. You know, she would have won all these cups up in Dublin for underage, and I would have been up there in the stands watching. But just get to play with her now, it's incredible. You know, just bringing the kind of league form we've had into international. You know, she's just coming back from her injury, so it's great to have her back.
Well, I'm sure there's young girls looking up to you, maybe quite literally at the moment anyway. Have you seen a big influx of people, or girls in particular, picking up basketball over the last number of years?
Yeah, there's been a lot of new people in our club, and just seeing around Cork, you know, just the interest, and just trying to get more people involved, even in schools and stuff, because it is a growing sport, and it's just nice to see, you know, the crowds for the games in Cork and just our own then in general.
For tomorrow's game, do you think, do we expect it to be a competitive affair, the French game? Let's face it, look, it was a bit one-sided, and as you already said, to be fair to you, it was more of a training exercise. Do you think there's going to be a lot of stiffer competition out there in the Latvia, or in fact, Ireland's level?
Yeah, like, we're still going into the game as underdogs, but we feel like we have a chance to compete in this game. It was great to play against the level like of France. But we weren't unrealistic going into that game. Like, we knew that they're the Olympic silver medalists, but we know for Latvia that they're more on par with us, so we know that we can compete, and if we play well, we know that we'll be up there and hopefully we can win the game.
Maybe you can't say, you might be afraid to be biased, but who's the big star in the team? Who do you think the Irish fans should look out for tomorrow?
Definitely I'd say Adele, just coming back from her injury. You know, she's being an inspiration for everyone. I think just everyone looking up to her. She's a great role model, and she's just a great fighter when she plays. She never kind of gives up on any plays or anything, so I think definitely she's one to watch tomorrow.
I said no bias straight in for the Cork woman and teammate.
Yeah, I have to. I love playing with Adele, so I have to give her a shout out.
And where do you think this game is going to be won and lost? What are Ireland's biggest strengths?
Yeah, I think so. We just have to play our own games. You know, we can't let them dictate the pace or let them play their games. You know, we know who we're looking out for, you know, to stop them on offense, and we just have to stick to our scouting game plan, and I think that will be competitive if we can do that. I think it's just, we've never won a game at this level, you know, qualifying for the Eurobasket, and I know we can qualify now, but just to get a win under our belt, you know, going into the next window for the next qualifiers, because a few years ago, before I would have broken onto the team, the girls would have been playing against the small nations, and now we're playing against the top nations in Europe. So we've just come a long way in the last few years, so definitely just getting a win would be the next step.
Perfect stuff. We'll hopefully get plenty of support. I'm sure you will. What do your own family make of it? Will they be heading to the match?
Yeah, I have a few family members coming up. They're looking forward to it. They'd always come up and watch, so Thanks to them as well. Good support.
I'm sure they've been driving around the country the last 20 odd years anyway.
Yeah, they have.
All right, well, Lauren, best luck tomorrow, and I really appreciate taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to us.
Thanks a million for having me.
Yeah, Lauren Holman there of Brunel and Irish basketball fame. A reminder, you can watch that match tomorrow, Ireland versus Latvia, on the TG Car Player with a 5 p.m. tip-off. To a bit of camogie now, and it's Electric Ireland Ashbourne Cup weekend. UCC are in the final after their win over Trinity today, and they'll face UL. Rory has been chatting to former Kilkenny camogie player and Ashbourne Cup winner with WIT, Miriam Walsh, about the unique nature of college competitions.
All right, I'm delighted to be joined by former Kilkenny camogie player and Ashbourne Cup winner Miriam Walsh as she looks ahead to the Electric Ireland Camogie Third Level Championship semi-finals and finals this weekend. Through its first-class rivals campaign, Electric Ireland will continue to celebrate the unique alliances that form between county rivals as they come together in pursuit of some of the most coveted titles across camogie and the GAA. Miriam, delighted to meet you. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Rory.
Excellent. Talk to me about, I suppose, the Ashbourne Cup, and I suppose just how important it was to you in your career.
Yeah, I suppose, as you mentioned, the first class, first rivals, you know, you're playing with the best girls in the country, you know, you're playing with your rivals, basically. So you're forming unexpected friendships. So it's nice, and it is really a stepping stone for intercounty. You're learning so much skills off girls you're playing alongside of, so it's a fantastic weekend.
What's that like, though, like togging out alongside girls who you would have been playing against, I suppose, coming up playing underage with Kilkenny?
Yeah, I suppose Laura Tracy from Cork, I would have marked Laura an awful lot with Kilkenny, and she was playing with Cork, and then we were, you know, playing together for WIT, and we were like best friends. So, you know, Laura is one of the best defenders in the country, so it was great to kind of, you know, get to know all these girls, and you're learning from them. You know, Laura is an incredible leader, so, you know, you're learning all the different traits from them, so it really is a special weekend.
It certainly is, and we're in the middle of the build up to it now. The big game's coming this Saturday and the final on Sunday. For you as a player, Miriam, what was that week like? Were you able to get any college work done, or was it all just focusing on the matches at the weekend?
Yeah, no, it was just all focusing on the camogie. We actually had Ursula Jacob was over us, and Downey, Paddy Mullally and Conor Phelan. So our management team, it was just so professional. It was a real professional setup. You know, you weren't enjoying the college lifestyle, you should say. It was all camogie, and you know, we got the rewards in the end, so it was worth it now.
Yeah, you're obviously an Ashbourne Cup winner yourself. How many times did you win it, Miriam?
I just won it the once in 2015. Hard to beat those UL girls,
because WIT were quite successful around that era as well, weren't they?
Yeah, that was like before my time, say. Yeah, god, they won, didn't they win, was it 4 in a row
or something like that? Yeah.
So but I would have played intercounty with, you know, Denise Gall, Shelley Farr, like they have a good Ashburn. So
exactly. What do you remember from that final weekend?
Yeah, it was just, you know, it's good buzz. You're going up in the bus and you're staying overnight, and you're like, oh, if we win today, we get to stay another night. So it's a great buzz. And I suppose the recovery is important as well. Like, it's hard on the legs as well, playing two matches back to back, you could say. So you're trying to get the recovery session in the space of 24 hours. So it really is, it's tough going, but worth it in the end if you win.
Yeah, you must be on your feet by the end of the final on the Sunday then, yeah.
Yeah, I remember we played on Ashbourne, our finals. So, like, it was very hard on the legs. So, do you know, like, if you're winning well, I know Anne used to kind of, you know, take some girls off and give them rest. You know, it must be tough as a management team, kind of trying to keep girls fresh in the space of, what, like, 48 hours. It's going, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And hopefully from a Cork perspective, I suppose UCC will have two games this weekend. They have a tough test against Trinity first off this weekend. But UCC, Miriam, I suppose, they've been the bridesmaids in this competition for so long. I mean, like, I think it's 9 finals they've been in the last 2 decades. They haven't won since 2003. So at this stage, you think, well, hopefully from a Cork perspective, they're owed one at this point.
Yeah, exactly. I heard an awful lot of the Cork Camogie girls are on it. The young girl of the Catalans is on it. Orla, isn't it? She's on it. So yeah, you'd be thinking UCC will do well. You know, they're always there and thereabouts, to be fair. I remember Hannah Looney was a very strong player with UCC back when I was playing, and you know, they never really got to win one. So you know, it's nice to think that I'm an Ashburn winner, because it's nearly harder than winning an All-Ireland. The standard is just so high, like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's going to be a cracking weekend. So fingers crossed UCC can, I suppose, get over the line this weekend. As I mentioned, 9 finals in the last 20 years and haven't won since 2003. So big test for UCC this week. And just yourself, Miriam, you announced your retirement just before Christmas. Obviously, you've had some tremendous battles with Cork in the Black and Amber of Kilkenny. What kind of sticks out for you when you look back in those Cork-Kilkenny battles?
Yeah, just tremendous battles with Cork. I remember playing in my first All-Ireland. I was marking Rena Buckley. Geez, she was some player, some operator, and Gemma O'Connor and Aoife Murray in the goal. Like, they're ones that stick out to me. Such incredible leaders and lovely girls off the pitch as well. I would have went on holidays with Gemma and Aoife. Yeah. Such lovely women, and yeah, they're so driven. That's how they won their All-Irelands.
Yeah, they certainly did. Yeah, like, when you look back at your Kilkenny career then, is it possible to pick out a highlight?
Yeah, I suppose 2022 is a special one for me. I suppose getting the player of the year that year and reaching the pinnacle, like, that is something that I'll be forever grateful about. I suppose I probably didn't appreciate it as much at the time, but now being retired, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I actually done that. So it's nice thinking back on it.
Yeah, it certainly is. All right, 2022, not great from a Cork perspective, I have to say, but what's it? It was a cracking game. There was a cracking occasion. That's all Cork and Kilkenny games are in Croke Park, to be perfectly honest about it. When you look, I suppose, at the state of the game now, Miriam, compared to, like, when you started, compared to where you retired, like, how much advances have been made, and I suppose in terms of publicity and girls playing the sport, and how far more does the sport have to do, I suppose?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Even there last year, we played before the men's semi-final, and that was, you know, you can see it getting progress in the ladies' sport, but sometimes with the time frames, like, there was too much time between our camogie match and the men's hurling. So I think maybe they could look into maybe changing the times, not having such a big massive gap in between games, just to get more of a support in. But it is going in the right direction, 100%.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. Just before we wrap up, Miriam, I suppose, getting back to the Ashburn Cup weekend, I mean, it'd be great to see big crowds at the game. I know there'll be big crowds, I suppose, travelling from the respective colleges as well, so there should be a cracking atmosphere across the weekend.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm hoping to get to it myself. It's a great occasion, and I can't wait to see, like, some of the Kilkenny Camogie girls playing in it as well. I'll be supporting them. And, you know, I think there's a Kilkenny girl nearly on every team. Yeah. So it'll be something to look forward to as well. And may the best team win.
Well, exactly that. Miriam, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. Thanks very much for joining us, and enjoy the weekend.
Cheers. Thank you.
And the best team did win. UCC are into the final against UL. The ref's whistle has gone for halftime, but stay with us for a second half for all the ladies' Gaelic football action we can muster. Welcome back to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Good Times or LFM. Dan Casey here with you for the next half hour. The latest in the rugby, England have just taken a 1-point lead against France, coming right down the home stretch, 26 points to 25. An absolute cracker in Twickenham. But now, back to business here. And tomorrow, in the Lidl LGFA National League Division 2, Cork travels to Tipperary for a Munster Derby. The game throws in at 2 p.m. in Feathertown Park and promises to be a cracking contest. Joe McCarthy will have live updates and all the after-match reaction from Cork's third National League outing of the year. Here's Joe looking ahead to the game.
On Sunday, in the Lidl LGFA National League Division 2, Cork travelled to Tipperary for a Munster derby. The game throws in at 2pm in Featherstone Park and promises to be a cracking contest. Under new manager Joe Carroll, Cork have experienced a mixed start to their 2025 Division 2 campaign. They began with an impressive 3-12-5 point victory over Westmeath in Parky Ring, but their second outing saw them suffer a narrow 2-8-12 point loss to last year's All-Ireland Senior Championship runners-up Galway in Tuam, a game manager Joe Carroll felt his side deserved at least a draw. Safe to say that Cork will be keen to get back to winning ways on Sunday. Tipperary, on the other hand, will be looking to bounce back from two recent National League losses. The Premier County were beaten by Galway in their first league outing before pushing Monaghan all the way up in Castle Blaney and losing by a single point last weekend. The last time Cork and Tip met was in the Munster LGFA Senior Football Championship semi-finals in Mallow last May. Cork edged that encounter by a single point, 11 points to 10, thanks to a Sive McGoldrick's late winner. Expect another equally close game between two counties who know each other very well this weekend. Throw-in at Featherstone Park is at 2pm on Sunday, where I'll be pitch-side providing live updates across the Big Red Bench's social media channels. I'll also have all the aftermatch reaction from both dressing rooms. For the Big Red Bench, I'm Ger McCarthy.
And earlier in the week, Ger spoke to Cork and Aerog senior footballer Emma Cleary, plus Cork senior manager Joe Carroll, to preview Sunday's clash with Tip. We'll hear first from Emma.
On Sunday in the Lidl Ladies National Football League Division 2, it's a Munster derby at Featherstone Park with a 2pm throw-in as Cork travel to take on Tipperary. New manager Joe Carroll and his side are coming off a narrow defeat to Galway and ahead of an always difficult task of taking on Tip irrespective of the competition. Joining me on the line is Cork senior footballer Emma Cleary to preview Sunday's clash. Emma, you're very welcome to the bench. How are you?
Not too bad. Thanks for having me.
It's been a hectic time for the Cork senior footballers. You had a new management team come in with Joe Carroll, new backroom team with a lot of different coaches, different voices in the dressing room over the winter period. For somebody who's an experienced senior, how were those, before we talk about the games, how were the winter months and how did that transition go?
Yeah, I suppose it's gone smoothly so far. It's been really enjoyable, I must say. Now, we've probably been kind of doing bits maybe the last 3 months between gym and then back on the pitch and stuff. But no, I must say now it's been really enjoyable so far and hopefully it stays that way now for the next one.
Indeed. You got off to a flyer in your first National League game at Parky Ring when you defeated Westmeath 3-12-5. How important was it just on the very first day when there's so many new faces on the sideline, Emma? How important was it just to get the win irrespective of the performance?
Yeah, look, to be honest, I think it was hugely important even for the group itself. Just, I suppose, coming off the back of the league last year, we had a really tough league campaign last year and we went 6 in a row there with no win. So I think it was really important for us just to get a win and kind of a feel-good factor into the camp on that first day out. And I think there was lots of things we were happy about in the Westmeath game, but there was lots of things we weren't happy about, maybe our performance in the second half and stuff. But at the end of the day, we got the 2 points from that game, so we were happy enough.
You did get the 2 points and it was good to get off to a good start. Unfortunately, last time out, away to Galway up in Tuam, the All-Ireland senior runners-up from 2024, a side that you know very well, Emma, from the last couple of years. Disappointing to lose 2-8-12 points, but plenty of positives to take out of that performance still?
Yeah, look, definitely. Obviously, you never want to lose a game and there was 2 points up for grabs there, but I suppose we probably learned a lot from the Galway game, even more so than a lot more than the previous weekend. I suppose, as you said, there we're very familiar with Galway at this stage. We've played them in the league and we had them in the group and championship last year, and then of course in the All Ireland semi final. So we knew how tough it was going to be. But I suppose we were again like that. We probably took the game in two halves and we were probably disappointed enough with our performance, but then happy with a lot of aspects of their second half performance. So again, loads of learnings to take from it and to take into this weekend against Tip.
And that's the thing, Emma, you know, from working with Joe Carroll, with Air Og, you know, these things take time to bed in with a new manager, new setup, new voices, new approach, a lot of new players on the panel as well. We've seen 4 debutants against Westmeath alone, so this is a changing time and a slightly transitional time. I know there's a lot of experience like yourself still on the panel, but in the National League it is about trying to get out of Division 2, as Joe has said. But what's most important, I would imagine as well, for Cork is one eye later on in the year in the Munster and All-Ireland Championships, that you have a settled squad and a settled panel and that everybody knows their roles.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously, our goal is definitely to get out of Division 2, and we want to be back up in Division 1 next year. But I suppose at the moment, you can't really think about that. You just have to take it game on game. And as you said there, a lot of debutants in the last couple of weeks, girls starting and girls coming on. And then on the other side of that, both days we had 15 plus other girls training that didn't even make the panel. So they're pushing the thing on the whole time as well. And even this weekend, there could be a few more changes to the panel or the team. I think we're all just pushing each other on at the moment to hopefully be settled by the time, as you said, Munster Championship and the All-Ireland Series comes around.
Yeah, and just on that, you've settled into that Cork half-back line very, very well. You're on one of the wing-backs along with Neva Vaughan's Rosie Corkery and centre-back and captain Sarah Leahy from Ada. The three of you, I know it's early days, but you seem to have dovetailed quite well in the opening couple of matches, and you'll be hoping to carry that on. Are you enjoying that wing-back experience, being able to join the attack, and or do you prefer defending?
No, I'm enjoying it, I must say. I suppose you're facing the goal a lot. You can probably get a lot of ball back there and attack from deep. And I suppose what probably James Mack is trying to bet into us at the moment is that, you know, you could be playing anywhere at any time, wherever you end up on the pitch. So I think he wants us all to kind of just be adapting the whole time. So, it's great learning, and there's been kind of really good coaching, I suppose, going on the last couple of months and stuff, and we're learning loads.
James McCarthy, who won so much with Castlehaven men's setup, Emma, and along with that, Valerie Mulcahy, what have those two voices in particular been like, having those people around and involved in the coaching so far this year?
Yeah, look, as I said, number one, it's been really enjoyable, and we've been learning loads. I suppose, you know, James Mack, like, he's football mad, and he just eats, sleeps and breathes it, like, and even last night, like he was saying, he watched the Galway game 5 or 6 times. Like he's stone mad about it, and he thinks about the game the whole time. And we're learning so much from him, so which can only be a positive thing. And hopefully we can start producing that on the pitch now in the next couple of months. And then also just having Val there, I suppose, firstly just a past player from that great Cork ladies team, is just a huge bonus to have as part of the management team. And I suppose especially attacking wise, she's been doing a lot of work with the forwards and stuff, so another great person to have involved.
They both certainly are. On Sunday, you meet a familiar foe, Emma, in Tipperary. They've not had the best of starts, losing to Galway 2-9-7 in their opening league game, but really pushed Monaghan in their second outing away to Monaghan, only losing by a point, 10 points to 1-6. And as if you needed reminding, the last time you would have met in a competitive fixture was last May in the Munster Senior Football Championship semi-final in Mallow, where Cork just about squeezed over the line, 11 points to 10. It's a cliche, it's a Munster derby, but form doesn't really come into it. When Tip play Cork, you've played each other at underage level all the way up, you know each other so well. Even though they've lost two games, you're not taking them lightly, and this is going to be another serious test of Cork's credentials.
Yeah, definitely. And I suppose both teams are after coming off a loss last weekend, so they'll be gunning as well after losing last weekend. And similar to Galway, they're a team we're very familiar with. We've played them in Munster Championship and All-Ireland Series, the group stages over the last few years, so we know them really well. And I suppose, even as you said, we scrope over the line against them last year in the Munster Championship, so we know how tough this weekend is going to be. And especially, you know, there's O'Connor Cup thrown in this week, the college girls are playing this week, so it's a heavy week for girls. But look, hopefully we can try and be as fresh as possible going into the weekend, and we know how tough it'll be, but hopefully we get over the line and put in a good performance and get the 2 points.
Indeed, we hope that too here on the Big Red Bench. On Sunday, the Lidl Ladies National Football League Division 2, the third round of action of the 2025 campaign. Cork travel to Tipperary to play in Feathertown Park with a 2 p.m. throw-in. On behalf of everybody here on the Big Red Bench, Emma Cleary, thanks for joining us, and the very best of luck.
Thanks very much, sir.
Now, before we move on to the interview with Joe Carroll, the latest from the Six Nations, England did get the win against France, 26 points to 25. It finished there. It was just what seemed like a cracker in Twickenham. Now, let's hear from Joe Carroll.
Delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench once again by the Cork LGFA senior manager Joe Carroll, ahead of this weekend's Lidl LGFA National League Division 2 clash between Tipperary and Cork at Feathertown Park on Sunday at 2 p.m. Joe, you're very welcome back to the bench.
Thanks, sir.
The result didn't go your way the last day above in Chewham. How much, rather than looking back, let's look ahead. How much of the performance affected training this week, or was it business as usual?
I suppose, look, it was probably business as usual. We're actually training on the Wednesday night, so that it won't overly affect us. We kind of set our stall that we had three games, and we set it as a block and see how well we can do. And we knew there was going to be a lot of learning from it for both management and players, and who we pick on the day and so on, and what plans we take with us. So, look, from that regard, I think we're on track of what we wanted to try and achieve at the start.
Yeah, and when you're playing an All-Ireland senior runners-up, I think people forget that sometimes. It's a long trip up to Chewham. The conditions weren't great. There's a lot of outside mitigating factors. But are these the days you learn a little bit more about your panel?
Yeah, and I think we probably learned more in the game last Sunday than we probably learned in the Westmeath game, because we started so well against Westmeath and the game was over really after 20 minutes. Like, and we learned a lot of stuff about our players and our system of play and things like that last Sunday that the challenge provided by Galway gave us, which was really good at this time of the year.
You had 9 points from Katie Quirk, the Bride Rovers forward, 7 from Freeze. You don't need to be told how important having a free taker of her ability in the squad is for you, not just in the National League, but for later on as well.
Yeah, of course. And like even in the Westmeath match, she's kicked some fabulous scores. I remember the very last one in the second half. Any player and any coach would be proud of it. A very tight angle, and she just loaded over, and she's going very well at them at the moment and puts in a lot of work on it, and that's what we want to see. So she's vital to us.
Donny's Melissa Duggan made a comeback as well in the full back line. How important is her experience, especially with younger players around her like Siobhan Callanan and a few others ahead of her as well, Amy Corcoran? They're up and down the wing alongside her.
Yeah, very, very important. And I suppose to the real Melissa, you know, she was sick on Saturday night, but she turned up and played afterwards anyway, you know. And she was probably not in the best of health, but she put in a very good performance, and I think maybe got a bit better as the game went on, if anything, when she got into it. But going forward, she's going to be very, very important to us.
And I know we've talked about her before, and we're going to talk about her again, but getting Erica O'Shea, the former AFLW North Melbourne Kangaroos player, back in a Cork jersey and getting game time into her against such a tough opponent, how valuable is that for you and for her, Joe?
Yeah, it's going to be important going forward for her. I suppose she's just maybe adjusting at a small bit at the moment to the ball more than anything else, because her fitness levels are very, very high, and she's an example to everybody else of what's the target they should be setting for themselves. But it'll take a bit of time with her, and the more game time she gets, obviously, the better she's going to get as the year moves on.
Last year, when Cork played Tipperary in the Munster LGFA Senior Football Championship semi-final in Mallow, they won by 11 points to 10, but only thanks to a late Sive McGoldrick winner. Tip weren't having the best of seasons before that game. They struggled a little bit afterwards. They've lost both their league games already this year. Opening day against Galway was to be expected, possibly, but they really put it up to Monaghan and Castleblaney at the last stage, and only lost by a point. That should, not that you need a telling, but for your players, that should remind them that irrespective of the results, this is a serious Tip team that Cork will have to be on point to beat.
Absolutely, Joe. And like, I watched them in the two matches they played so far, and they were extremely lucky to be beaten by Monaghan, with the better team, but just got caught with a few scores and very, very unlucky, and should definitely have got a draw out of it. And you know, if you go back in it, in 2019... But 2018, 2019, a lot of those players were playing against Cork at minor level, and they gave Cork minors, Cork won the All-Ireland minor in 2019, got to the final in 2018, and they gave those Cork teams a very, very close call in both occasions. They have exceptionally good footballers. They haven't got Ashley Maloney back in the fold yet. She's listed among their subs. So for last week, and here she was, and like when they get her back, they're going to be a serious outfit. They have a couple of players that are involved with UCC and are extremely good players. Emma Morrissey is one to be pointed out at full forward. She'd take a lot of watching. One of the top players in the country, in my opinion. So we are going to be going to the Prairie for a battle, and hopefully we'll be prepared for it.
As well as that, we spoke last time about the O'Connor Cup and the fact that it's on this time of year, but you mentioned a few players that may be involved with yourself in UCC. It's the same though for a lot of colleges and a lot of players in a lot of the counties. I don't know if that evens things out, but it does mean managing players' times and their training loads is vital at this time of year for you, Joe. But you have a bank of information from the opening two games. You'll be involved in the O'Connor Cup. You'll know what your players are doing, but because of the time of the year, this is unfortunately the time of the year that players pick up injuries.
Yeah, it is, Jordan. Definitely, like all teams either played Saturday or Sunday and Monday last week. O'Connor Cup is on Thursday. Some of the colleges like MTU, know Siobhan Callan would be inside there, played on Tuesday. Mary, you're playing on Thursday as well. Like, then you're playing out again Saturday or Sunday with the teams. It is a big, big workload, and we'll do the best I can to manage it. Our SNC, if you know, she is monitoring everything, so he knows when there's any bit of workload overload coming. So we just have to pull back and be patient this time of the year and not overload them. And top of that, then you have the Ashburn as well as on this weekend. So that's a bit of an overload as well with some of the players. So we have to be careful with everything.
Indeed you do, but it looks like Cork are on a very sound footing with Joe and his new management team, because on Sunday in the Leader Ladies National Football League Division 2, the third round of fixtures, Cork travel to Feathertown Park in Tipperary to take on the host county with a 2 p.m. throw-in. We'll have live updates from the Big Red Bench and after-match reaction, but for now, ahead of that game, Joe Carroll, once again, thanks very, very much for joining us here on the Big Red Bench.
Thanks a million, Joe.
Right, so here, keeping with the ladies football, rather, Cork forward Katie Cork speaking to Tommy Rooney here at the launch of Salger's sponsorship of the GPA.
All right, I'm delighted to be joined by Katie Quirk of Cork. Keeping the jacket on, but we can still see the Salger top underneath. We're at the launch of Salger becoming the official vitamin partner of the GEA, GPA and the GEA Museum for the next 3 years. So quite a kind of symbiotic relationship you could have with your vitamins and your kind of prep and all of that. Like, it's an important part of game day and being an inter-county player, Katie, I'd imagine.
Yeah, definitely. It was an interesting one when I heard about the partnership. Like, I think it's vitamins and supplements are like a big part of life in general now, but sport as well. And it's becoming really prominent, so like, definitely an interesting one for all of us.
It's something you probably have to do, like, in one sense, your own research in. Like, if you're not an intercounty player, you're probably not as on top of possibly your nutrition as you guys meet. Like, I'm sure it's quite intense at that level. But for yourself, is it something, like, you'd have studied sports?
Nutritional science.
Nutritional science, like, so is it as black and white as, say, you know, Aneve Mallon, who's working, you know, in that area with Oracle and with the Galway Footballers, or is it a slightly different sphere that you've gone into with sports science?
I think it is similar enough. Like, I suppose we probably would be a little bit more clued in, and you would have a bit more education than some around it. And I suppose just for me, having done it in college, like, it probably would have that little bit more background in it, I suppose. But it is, yeah, definitely something interesting, and probably is like becoming more prominent with more GA teams and stuff. Probably would be pushed a bit more now, probably with this partnership as well. But yeah, definitely would be a help going forward as well for some teams.
You mentioned college, it was UCC.
Yeah.
You finished up in May.
Yeah.
You had a good time there.
Very good, yeah. It was very sad leaving there. Kind of found it a bit strange now when a lot of my friends were going back this year and I wasn't. A little bit jealous at the start, but yeah, Kind of got over that now.
How many years did you do? Four?
4 years.
I know, it's like, I did 3 years in DCU, but I only really did two as well. Our last year was kind of out and about on placement and stuff. It's like, I always think I didn't really appreciate it, but did you appreciate life in UCC? And are you like, the club is outside the city, is it, or is it?
No, I'm about a half an hour from the city originally.
So did you live in the city, or did you?
I moved off for my final 2 years. My first year was COVID, okay. So it was all online. And then second year's kind of in and out. So I suppose like that, I'm only counting 2 years as proper.
You'll have to make an excuse to go back, so.
Yeah, I know. We'll have to see now next year, maybe. But yeah, I think I appreciated it now, but looking back, like, it was, straight up fall in college, and like, it was the football as well was probably nearly my favourite part of it, just playing with, you know, people from different counties, and it's good competition as well, so definitely be following it.
There's such a kind of history and lineage of it in UCC as well, like, it's class. Your O'Connor Cup run last year, I'm going to get to your own performance on the field, but did you pick up an injury this time last year and you ended up missing the final and some of the league games? I know Cork got relegated with Galway into Division 2, so you kind of had a kind of punctured start to the year in that sense. You were flying it and then you had that kind of knee injury.
I was out for 12 weeks and then like I missed all of college, and like being my final year as well, it was fairly sickening. So like I missed their, like, they had such a good run of it, they got to the final and was it extra time as well, DCU beat them in the end by, it was a point or two. So like I was sickened to be missing that. And then I suppose it was kind of straight into it then once I did get back into, I think it was Munster Championship, if I came back for with Cork. So it was kind of stop and start, but yeah, it definitely was a bit disappointing to have missed that.
We were talking to Paul Conroy and Niamh and Tom Morrissey about it, and they all kind of had different experiences and different senses of it. But, and you're probably all at different stages of your career. Like, you first broke on to Cork in that COVID year. So you're only a couple of years in and you've just won an All-Star and you were, you know, top scorer last year in the championship. But we were just talking about the intensity of it, and it probably hinged a little bit on Morrissey going off for 3 months around South America, do you know, and having that break and that bit of a chance. But, you know, Paul Conroy picked up an injury last year and got 3 weeks off, and it kind of gave him a bit of a chance to reset in the middle of it and get a bit of a break. Did you find those weeks out tough to deal with then? Because you mentioned finally your exams and stuff as well. Did you miss that release valve, I suppose, of sport?
Yeah, I think I did. Like, in one hand, it was, I suppose, okay time for it to happen. Like, I had the time for college to finish up and, like, studying like that. But on the other hand then, like, I was missing the final year college competition and missed, like, training. I suppose I kind of tried to go maybe once a week, but, like, I couldn't drive for a little bit as well with it. So, like, it was definitely, this was very intense college concentrated then. So, like, she'd miss even just going out training, meeting people. Like, it was tough enough time, to be fair. But, like, I suppose mine was short enough lived. It was only a couple of weeks in the end. So I can't complain too much. You know, there was, could have been a lot worse. So we took the little win out of it, if there was one.
You hit the ground running when you got going. You fell short in the Munster final to Kerry, who obviously went on to do what they did here against Galway. Galway bet you in the All-Ireland semi-final. They bet you in the league at the weekend, by the way. So there's a little rivalry building there between yourselves and themselves. I suppose you've undergone a transition in Cork. Was there 15 All-Ireland winners left in 2020 when you joined the panel? And I'm not sure there's that many of them left.
Yeah, I think now, there's only a couple now. If we might have 4 or 5, smaller numbers anyway, definitely. I think, like, we've a young team last year, and then this year again, like, we've a lot of new people and people kind of playing league games now this year, and, like, I suppose more games you play, more experience there is. So I'd say we'll probably try to take the league now as it comes, and hopefully Munster Championship as well. We might be set up well from that, from the league.
But you're building, though. Like, you're trying to build something again, and I'm not saying there's the weight of that success behind you, but, you know, to go from where you are now to multiple All-Irelands in a row, you can't think about that. It's about getting a step further than you were last year.
Yeah, I think when I first came onto the panel, like, there was so many girls and they'd All-Ireland medals hanging out their pockets, like, and for me, like, I haven't won one at senior, so, like, obviously that is the dream, and, like, you'd have the few girls who have won it and, like, they have that experience behind them, and I think you be kind of trying to, like, learn off them, and, you know, like, they're trying to push it on as well. So, like, it is just trying to, I suppose, improve with every game and see how far we can get. Like, that it was the semi-final last year, so I suppose we'll be trying to get back up there this year and hopefully go a step further, but we'll see now.
Paul Conroy was footballer of the year last year in the men's game, and I actually caught up with him that night, and it felt like they'd lost the All-Ireland final, but he was still able to appreciate the award that he had just won as well. What was winning an All-Star like for you last year, and even ending the season as top scorer? Because I know it's not an individual sport, but, you know, you're driving your own standards. Like, you've got to be personally driven as well as collectively as a team. So how did you find that last year? Was that like an exciting couple of weeks, or?
Yeah, no, it was a huge honour to be nominated to go up to it. Like, there was 4 of us from Cork went up, so, like, I was delighted to go up, but, like, I suppose wasn't really expecting to come home with anything, really. So, like, to have won that, like, it was a huge, huge deal, and, like, I was delighted with it, and, like, even just for my family as well. Like, they came up with me on the night, but, like, they'd be, I'd say, blue in the face from travelling around it just week from week. So that was really nice. I suppose after the year, like, obviously having not won an All-Ireland, like, to come away with something was a nice touch.
It's good for a group as well.
Yeah,
you know, there's standards there that they've seen that you've hit, and some of them may have hit it as well, but may not have got the reward for it. But, like, the more All-Stars you have in a group, and even Galway this year, they got to an All-Ireland final in 22 in the football and they lost in the men's. They had a number of All-Stars, they had different All-Stars this year. So if you're able to build that over the next couple of seasons, it's important as well.
Yeah, I think it was nice that we came away with, like, we came away at one, and even to get four nominations was a big thing. Like, getting to the semi-final was, like, I thought we did well, because considering last year for the league, when we got relegated down, like, it probably wasn't looking great. Like, this time last year, a couple of months with it. So to come, like, that far and to kind of pull ourselves through, like, it was very good for the group. And just to see, like, we did improve and to know how far we dug deep to get there. So I suppose, like, seeing that, it was encouraging moving on to this year as well.
Sports mad growing up, I presume?
Yeah, we were. Kind of just in, it's just me and my sister, but like we would have kind of had a bit of involvement in a lot of things.
What, like what?
We the football in Camogie, did horse riding, two of us, we had two ponies. That's kind of the main ones, really. Watching sport as well, like you'd kind of always something beyond the television or going to some game here or there.
Yeah, it must be just class then, you know, going from that, growing up and being mad about it, to being able to perform and get opportunities to be in Croke Park.
Yeah, definitely. Even just from like football side, and I suppose when I was younger, coming here and there was Cork were playing in All-Ireland and sitting in the stand watching it was really cool, and like you wouldn't really think like, oh, this is going to be me in a few years. So to even be here today and just like sitting in the stand, like looking at it, like it is come a long way from there. So definitely would be looking to be playing here in another few months, hopefully.
Best of luck with that with this season. There's like plenty of conversations that are happening off the field in women's football as well. There's the various players that are going to the AFLW. Maurice Brosnan wrote a piece in the Irish Examiner recently, and he was like, there isn't just players going to the AFLW, it's more so people taking a year out to go travelling or different things in life coming up, and they're going off moving. Is that a conversation in your group, that aspect of it? And then in terms of the women's game itself, are you looking at the changes going on in men's football at the minute? Are you looking at any of that? Are you getting a chance to see any of that as well?
I think like that anyway, there's so many different opportunities, you know, like especially when you kind of get to college and like that year or two after college, like there's like you're kind of in limbo straight away, and you, like I suppose there is so much out there and trying to keep people around, and like it is tough, but
you mean the world when you say out there,
yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of just taking every year as it comes, and you know, like there's opportunities that you can't really turn down either. Like it's sport at the end of the day, really,
but it's like getting the opportunity to apply it professionally. I know you do it anyway, I know there's that element of it, but like it's not either, like you're working, like you're graduated from final year, you're straight into a job in food science, right?
Yeah,
you know, there's a big balance in that. Like Niamh was travelling back from her job in Galway to Down to play for a number of years there as well.
Yeah, there is a lot in it, and like there is a huge element of trying to balance everything like that, and even just talking to girls who are, I suppose, out in Australia playing, like it is a different world out there.
Cork have a few over there, right?
We've one girl out there, Erica. So like there is, you know, huge opportunities there. I think like with the season changing now, it mightn't be
you've combined the two for a while there.
Yeah, I don't know, I think in another year or two that might be possible, we'll see now, but yeah, there is like decisions there to be made. I suppose then with the men's rules, it is kind of very separate, like I wouldn't think there'd be many changes like that would come into ours.
Like you haven't really, just like the speed of the women's game is probably on another level to the way the men's game has been for the last couple of years.
Yeah,
like
it is different.
You haven't had the scourge of lateral play as much.
Yeah, it is. So like I suppose those kind of elements to it like wouldn't really be looked at. I think for the men's games, like I just kind of watched them there last week and the week before. It is a lot different and interesting to see how it is going to fare out.
It's early days.
And I suppose it is a lot different playing it than it is just sitting here watching it. So I suppose like it'd be more seeing another few weeks and you know, and like more games are played, like more is going to be taken out of it, so it'll be interesting to see.
Absolutely, it's as you said, early days as well. The little National Football League has kicked into gear, as we mentioned, the Galway defeat there. You're going to be targeting a win on the board. Who have you got next over the next couple of weeks?
We've Tip now this weekend. Like we've kind of played Tip every year in Munster, and like there's nothing between the teams. We'd have Monaghan now, Donegal, Clare.
So like the level of competition in Division 2 in women's football is high as well.
Yeah, like that now. We came down last year from Division 1, but like you're not going to get an easy draw here either. So I think we'd kind of be looking to target, hopefully do well in the league. And like that now, if we could get a few wins that might do us well going into Munster Championship, probably, hopefully put us in a good spot where you could get a good group for the All-Ireland. But like that now, there isn't going to be too many easy teams for the rest of the year, really. So once you start playing games, it all just kind of rolls into one and the weeks fly by. So kind of take it as it comes.
Katie Quirk, thanks so much for chatting to us at Solgar's launch of their partnership with the GAA, the GPA and the GAA Museum. You're great with your time there. Sorry for keeping you out in the cold for so long. Yeah. And best of luck with the 2025 season.
It's great. Thanks, man.
That's all we have time for here on the Big Red Bench. Gone overtime, in fact, about the 3 or 4 minutes. But anyway, Dan Casey signing off. But don't fear, Marty Guilfoyle is on the way next.